Everybody, welcome back to a Rocky Star podcast. This is your host, Brian Argott, on a Rocky Star podcast. I bring on guests from all around sports to talk about their journey to sports. But this is going to be the baseball edition of the show of the Rocky Star podcast. I am talking with my good friend, Steve Wellhalf, today. We talked yet last week on the podcast, and we're going to do it again here today. It's going to be a weekly show. I'm going to bring you some more guests later on this week. I'm going to have on from over at Luka Nation Network, Andrew Goldberg. He hosts the Luka Tiger Bronze podcast. I'm excited to talk to him about his story and how he got into the sports card industry. And then, we're going to be bringing some really cool content and going to be starting up on the YouTube channel here pretty soon. I hope you guys all enjoy this interview with myself and Steve. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a Rocky Star podcast. This is your host, Brian Argott, and this is the baseball edition of the show. And I'm bringing back on my good pal, Steve Wellhalf. How you doing there, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you?
I am good. I'm psyched. Baseball is, I can say, officially back. I mean, even though the MLB season is not here, the World Baseball Classic has now kicked off, and I'm stoked. USA, they got saved a little bit by Australia here. With a big victory for them. The USA kind of had a so-so weekend. Let's just start off with them, man. Team USA played on Saturday against Great Britain. They had a pretty convincing win there. Kyle Schwarber with a big home run in that game to blow the doors off of that one, because it was a pretty close game up to that point. You had Adam Wainwright on the mound. He was dealing for Team USA. Yeah, he looked really good. The guy over 40 years old pitching, starting, for Team USA. It's pretty awesome, man, watching it that guy. Is. I know he's won one title. I'm not sure if he was on that 05 Cardinals team. I don't know if he has two World Series rings, but man, he's been the ace of that franchise for a long time with the Cardinals, and now leading Team USA to their first win there. And then, the tides turned really fast on Team USA. They got blown out yesterday by Mexico, out, dude. The Mexico, and I remember last year on our old baseball podcast, we talked about Joey Meneses a lot, man, because I was covering the Nationals a lot. I was always doing the AL East because the Mets play in the East. So I used to cover all five teams. And man, I was always talking about Meneses, dude. This guy was awesome when he came up last year. He took over for Juan Soto. After the Juan Soto trade, they called up Meneses, and dude, this guy was a stud. He was hitting the ball everywhere. He had better stats because we were talking about the comparison. Because remember, Juan Soto started off really slow on the Padres last year, and Meneses took over. And man, did he kill the USA yesterday? He had two home runs against them. He was 3-for-3 at one point.
See the one was 109 miles an hour off the bat?
Yeah, man, it was a rocket off the bat, dude. It wasn't a bad pitch. I mean, he really just went after it and got it, man. I think he's a good player for the Nationals. I think, sometimes, some players just, you just never know. He's a late bloomer. He's a little bit older. I mean, he's not a young talent by any means. He's not like 21 or anything like that. We got to look up how old he is, but man, Mexico was dominating this game. The lead was 11-2 at one point.
Yeah. USA was down 7-1 in the fourth. I mean,
yeah, 7-1 in the fourth, 11-2 at one point, and they ended up losing 11-5. The bats needed to, I don't know, man, what it is. The bats would need to wake up for Team USA. It was just really bad. They play here tonight against Canada. The game has not started as of yet. We're recording this right about 6 p.m. here. And the game hasn't started just yet. Obviously, Team USA needs to win this game.
It's kind of a must-win almost, yeah. I mean, yeah. I know Great Britain played Colombia earlier. I don't know. I didn't see the final on that.
And Great Britain ended up winning that game.
Did they win that game?
They beat Colombia. They
well, that
won.
That helps.
Yeah, because they beat I think they beat Italy yesterday, Great Britain. It's definitely, there's so many good teams to watch for. Team USA, I don't even think they're the most talented of the bunch. I know a lot of people think that Team Venezuela is the most talented. A lot of people think that the Dominican is the most talented. There's definitely cases to be made for both teams.
Well, the Dominican Republic was favored at a plus 200 to win the whole thing at the beginning. And USA was right behind them at a plus 250.
Yeah.
And neither one of them are doing that well, I mean, no, considering.
Yeah, the Dominican came out and exploded today. I think there, I, at one point I was watching, I had the game on a little bit that when Juan Soto and Machado went back-to-back.
Back-to-back, yeah, I saw that.
That was crazy. And then, but man, I mean, Venezuela is, I think, one of the teams that you got to really watch out for.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw Salvador Perez yesterday. He went 4-for-4 for 5 RBIs, had a home run. He was the first player to do that since Ken Griffey did that in 2006
Wow.
to have a 4-hit game in that. It was a pretty remarkable. And yeah, man, there's a lot of good teams, even Team Puerto Rico.
I think we got to watch out for Japan, man. Japan's 4-0, and I don't know. I think they're looking pretty good. They got Yu Darvish, and Ohtani had a pretty solid game the other day. I think he pitched 4 or 5 innings and had a few strikeouts. And
I think he's supposed to pitch their next game, too.
Yeah,
So.
And he had like a double, I think, and a home run. And I mean, I think Japan's a team to watch. I think they were like a plus 1,200 to win the whole thing at the beginning or something like that. So
I'm surprised their odds were that high, considering, you know, they have two of the best pitch, you know, well, that Ohtani and Darvish as a 1-2 could be the, you know, probably the best two of any starting pitching staff.
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, man, it is really interesting because there's so many talented teams, even like Team Puerto Rico, who has Javier Baez, Carlos Correa, and Francisco Lindor on their team. There was one thing that I noticed on Team Venezuela. You have Yadier Molina as the manager.
Yeah,
He looks like a disgruntled manager. The same thing I was thinking of when I was watching Italy, Mike Piazza is the manager there. Piazza looks just like he could be a manager, just fits right in, dude.
Absolutely.
And I don't think any of these guys ever wanted to be managers, especially, you know, Piazza. He would have started a long time ago. He's been out of the game for almost 20 years, I think, at this point. But
yeah.
And I think the same thing with Yadier Molina. He's like, dude, I made so much money. Yeah, there's no way.
He won a ring. So, I mean.
Yeah. And, well, he's coming back. He still has one more year. He still has this year to play.
Does he? I thought he was done.
I don't think he retired yet, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm wrong. I got to check that out. Don't quote there on you guys.
Yeah. Oh, he retired. Yeah, he retired.
Oh, did he retire? Okay.
Yeah, he's done.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I was thinking that he was coming back for one more year because of Wainwright. It was that's right. He did retire. He retired with Pujols. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
But yeah, no, it's so I don't think he wants to go into management. I was always, but then again, I never thought Carlos Beltran wanted to go into management either because he made a ton of money. But now he's I don't think he'll be a manager at any point soon. I know he tried with the Mets, then they fired him.
Yeah.
And then, now he's in the front office with the Mets, though. So that's who knows? Maybe he'll be a front office guy. But yeah, man. World Baseball Classic kicking off. There's a lot of fun stuff going, man. These next few days are going to be very competitive. I can't wait to watch the Team USA tonight against Canada. They're going against Freddie Freeman, a guy who, if he just has a strong game, man, they could draw off the waters. It's like, that's the one thing about baseball as opposed to the NBA or the NFL, like where you have the best basketball player or if you have the best quarterback, that doesn't matter. You could have the best squad, and if you just come in hot and, you know, your team is hot at any point, you can just take it.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it with Korea today going 22-2 against China.
Against China, man. They I mean, absolutely
dude, they only played 5 innings too.
Oh my
they
God.
Called it after 5.
Yeah, it's like watching the softball game over at the park. You know, it's like the mercy rule getting kicked in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh man, but yeah, there's so much to come on the World Baseball Classic. Like I said, even tonight's game, I want to kind of talk about that a little bit more. As maybe we'll talk about it next week or later on this week. We'll do another podcast. But yeah, man, I think there's just so much to still kind of get to, and we want to see, because we want to see the strongest teams play with each other. You know, we don't want to see, I mean, as I know Mexico beat the U.S., but I'm not going to take them seriously. And now that I say that, they're going to probably win it all. But
yeah, did you see the fans behind home plate calling all the strikes and the outs and stuff? That was pretty cool. They were all like in sync with each other calling the outs.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was a pretty cool of like, you know, bit of flavor there. You know, as
Definitely.
call
That
them.
whole section, I mean, they had like 30 guys doing the same moves at the same time.
Yeah, it was like,
It's
oh, it
pretty
was all
cool.
rehearsed. Like,
Yeah.
yeah. By the way, I know I sent you an article. You remember, you saw that Little League umpire that he had that really bad strike call.
Yeah.
It was, and man, it ended up costing the team the
It was a
game.
college game. Yeah. Was it
Sorry,
the last
college game.
out or something? Yeah.
Last out,
Mississippi
the
State, I
team.
think.
Yeah, they were down 7-4 or
7 to
7-3.
3, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and even though that, you
And he
know, like.
called two strikes. And man, the first one was bad, but the last one, the third strike was like, I mean, it was way down in the dirt and outside. And I
I
don't
have
know.
never seen a worse call in my
No,
life.
it had to have been the worst call. Yeah.
Dude, that was a terrible call. That was unbelievable. And anybody that has not seen that, you man, well, I'll post that in the show notes
Yeah.
just because it was that egregious. And by the way, so that umpire is now suspended indefinitely.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't
did
see that.
you?
Yeah.
So yesterday I read an article that umpire is now suspended indefinitely. I mean, this is crazy. You know, you think you're going out there just doing your job, and you know you're not taking any accountability, maybe, or you're just like don't care. And you know, I'm kind of glad because that should not be that should not happen. This
No.
call was the way below his knees, way to the outside. It was clearly a ball, and you know, sometimes umpires, man, they just get in their own zone, and maybe they're tired or maybe something. But I you know, don't know, but. That can happen. That kind of call is
Yeah. And I think
egregious.
strike two was above the knees, but it was way outside and he called it a strike. And
Yeah.
you could see the batter was like pretty upset about that. And then the next pitch, it was, I mean, in the dirt almost.
Yeah. And credit to that batter. I mean, you know, he was upset, but God, man, I would have blown my lid off, dude. Like, I would have been in that guy's face, like, what the hell, man? Because
Yeah.
that call, man. Oh, God. Like I said, we'll post that in the show notes. It was really bad. Like way outside below the knees. It was yeah, that was something to watch. And then man, we as we get closer to the baseball season, we're doing a little segment here today. We're gonna be going for what player is gonna stand out, what player we expect to regress, and what player will be a big surprise. So on the first segment here, we're gonna be what players we're gonna expect to stand out. He's gonna be sort of a known player. Someone who's already like made a name for himself. I'm gonna let you go ahead first, Steve, on this one. Now,
All right, cool.
who's your player?
So I got Masataka Yoshida. So he's not a guy that this is gonna be his first year in the league, coming up from Japan. He signed a 5-year deal with the Red Sox, but he was played 7 seasons in Japan's NPB league, and batted a .327 in 7 seasons. So he's got a pretty solid batting average. And I saw an article today that he's projected to win the batting title in the MLB this year, on a first year contract with the Red Sox.
Wow, I wonder what the odds are for him to win the batting title. Because that is an interesting play for a
I mean,
bet.
he's above like Freddie Freeman. He's above Gurriel. He's above Arias, like all those guys. He's supposed to be
It,
batting. They're projecting him to bat a .299. But I mean,
wow.
he's a four-time All-Star over in Japan, and he won a home run derby 2 years ago in 2021.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's like a hitter, but he hasn't played in the MLB yet. So we'll see, man. I mean, 5-year deal, it was $105 million for 5 years. So that's pretty nice little contract for him
Well, yeah,
coming to the US.
especially for a player that's coming up. I mean, that was larger than what the Mets paid Kode Senja, if I'm
Senja,
saying,
yeah.
yeah, saying
Yeah.
his name right. But you know, the Mets signed him to a 5-year, $75 million deal.
Yep.
And I mean, those are big contracts to give out, and especially at that kind of age, you know, 29, for
Yep.
someone that you're just not sure of.
Yeah.
But
We'll see.
you know
But
it.
I think with those numbers, I mean, it's different. You know, it's a different game over here. I think
Yeah.
we've got a little bit better a pitching game over here in the US, but
Yeah.
overall, I mean, for a guy to bat .327 in 7 seasons, I think he played like 700 games or something in those 7 seasons. So he played almost full seasons. You know, it wasn't like he was just like a no-namer over there. He was,
Yeah, it's a big sample size to go
yeah.
on. And I mean, obviously, there are scouts and stuff. I mean, the Red Sox just were like, hey, here's 105 million. Although I kind of question them giving him that, but they didn't want to pay Xander Bogaerts.
Bogaerts, I know, yeah.
That's a bit of a head scratcher.
That's funky.
You know, even though like the Padres, I think, gave Bogaerts a little too much money, but it's like, I just don't know what the Red Sox are doing, but they obviously see something with this player. Man.
Yeah, so that's my house. I think he's going to have we'll see. Like I said, it's a different game over here, but I think he's going to be something to look after.
Well, sure. I mean, we saw Ichiro come over here and he dominated the MLB for, you know, close to 14 years or 13 years. Yeah. So, I mean, he could 700 games, man, that's a lot to go on. And I mean, not there are a lot of talent in a lot of those Japanese pitchers. So there's something there to be said. So I'm excited to see. He's in a tough division for sure.
Definitely.
I'm going with a similar player in the division. A guy who had a pretty standout year last year, Anthony Santander of the Baltimore Orioles. Santander was awesome. He had a great second half of the season last year. He only batted .240. He had 33 home runs, knocked in 89 RBIs. But man, the thing I love about him, he plays first base. He's not really a flashy guy, but man, his bat speed is incredible. Not only that, this team, I think, is due to – I know they broke out last year. They won 83 games last season. I don't think they're going to do that again, but this team will be better. They're starting Gunnar Henderson. He's going to have a full season this year. That offense is going to be really good. I don't know about the pitching staff. That was what might hinge over them. They didn't spend any money in the offseason, the Orioles. But I think Santander, I think he's going to have 40 home runs this year.
And I think he's been standing out in the WBC too, if I'm not mistaken, for Venezuela, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's on that team. And I think his name's going to be on the radar. He's also getting to that age where, you know, he's going to want that big contract. So I think he's going to, be due here. And what we saw from him, 33 home runs last year, I think he's going to go over 40. I think he's going to hit over 100 RBIs, especially just with that loaded lineup, because he's batting cleanup. He's batting 3 or 4 or 5, you know, maybe behind Adley Rutschman, who's just an absolute stud already. Gunnar Henderson, who's going to be there. That team has a lot to go on.
Baltimore's got a lot. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be better.
I think they have, and I think they're developing those guys. Like, they have a lot of young talent on that team for sure.
Yeah. Baltimore, if you're the Orioles owners are listening to this podcast, which I would love it if you guys are, go spend some money. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, to compete in that division with the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Rays, who are just always feisty and who are going to who have a bounce back year there, man, it's just, that's an incredible, you know, division there. Just four teams right off the bat that could just easily make the playoffs. But yeah, man. And I'll start with the player last year that just had an outstanding season, who I think is going to regress. And that's going to be another player in the division of the New York Yankees. This is going to be Aaron Judge.
Judge. Okay.
I think Judge had an incredible year last year. I mean, it's one of the greatest seasons you will ever see. I know some people were like, oh, you know, he shouldn't have won the MVP. Some thought that Shohei Ohtani should have won it because of what he does on both sides of the ball. But, you know, they might not be wrong. I think Judge definitely should have won the MVP. I think he carried the Yankees team, especially when they were slumping last year. And but he had 62 home runs. And he played almost a full season. I think Judge will not play a full season. I think he will get hurt at one point. I think he's going to not hit over 50 home runs this year. I mean, I could be incredibly wrong. But I think everything you saw out of Aaron Judge last year, I think it's going to be probably cut down in half. I think Judge was playing in a contract year. He was in kind of this FU mode kind of place. And we just, you know, Judge over the other years in his career, he hasn't been fully healthy. And, you know, he's approaching that age. I think he's going to turn 31 later on this month, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Judge has April. Not. Yeah. So, or next month. Judge has not really played full seasons back to back. You know, he's been in the league now, I think, 6 years. He has different injuries throughout his career. And that is my player who I think is going to regress. I think Judge, you will see. If you have his sports cards, sell them now.
He was going for big money. I mean, he signed a 9-year deal. It was what, 300 and something million dollars. I think he was just, like you said, he was in an FU kind of mode just to prove himself.
Yeah, and when players get that kind of money, they tend to get off a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
He has the $360 million deal that's guaranteed for the next 9 years. I mean, that guy is not, he does not have anything to worry about, and we'll see how he does. Who's
Yeah.
your player?
I'm going with one of the guys from your neck of the woods out there, Tyler Anderson. So coming from the Dodgers, went to the Angels this year in the off season.
Okay.
I just think that, I mean, he had like a one whip and a 2.57 ERA last season. But I think going into a team like an organization like the Angels, I just can't see. I mean, they had the ownership thing going on. They don't have a starting shortstop right now. Like, I just think they're a totally mismanaged organization. And for a guy like that to go over there, I mean, we've kind of saw it. I mean, I guess Trout's kind of an exception because he was kind of hurt a lot of the season last year, and they have Ohtani. But
And
for them to have
Trout
such,
still hit 40 home runs.
yeah,
So,
exactly. But for them to have such a poor record with big names like that, I think that's one of those guys that, like, you're not going to see him throwing a 2.5 ERA next year or this year coming up.
yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. The Angels had last year, according to ERA, the Angels had the ninth best pitching staff
Right.
in the big leagues.
And they barely made it over 500. I mean, if that.
Yeah.
So I just think putting a guy like that coming from the Dodgers and having a decent season with the Dodgers and then throwing him into an organization like the Angels, I just can't see him getting better by any means. So, I mean, he might not get much worse, but I don't think he's going to play as good as he did last year.
That is interesting to me because when a player leaves the Dodgers, it's usually I think the opposite. I think,
Yeah,
oh,
that's
this guy
true.
is
That's
gonna
true.
regress. And with the
Well, it's funny
Angels,
because I almost went with Cody Bellinger. So,
I would have had a little bit more faith in your Cody Bellinger. But then again, like I said, could be wrong. This is why we're doing this. It's a prediction. But
Yeah, Cody
Cody.
Bellinger to the Cubs. But I mean, like we were talking about last show, the Cubs, they look like they got something going this year for him. So, I don't
Yeah.
know. Maybe it's just my a little subliminal beef with the Angels, but. Something about
No,
that organization just seems funky to me, and I think it has been for 10 years. I mean, they were trying to build a new stadium, and they couldn't secure a spot in town, and like
it's
there's
because
just
of
a
the
lot going on.
ownership. No,
I
no one
know,
trusts Artie Moreno.
and now he's not selling the team anymore. So like, I don't know. I just feel like they got a lot more going on over there than meets the eye. So.
Yeah, hopefully that he does sell the team after this year or something like that, because the Angels fans, the players in there, Mike Trout and all that, they deserve a good owner. And
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be too late before you see a new owner get in there, and Shohei Ohtani will be gone.
Yeah.
Because I think if a new owner would have been in there, it probably would have just said, Ohtani, we want you here. Here's a 5-year, $500 million deal
Yeah. Well,
or
like I said, last show too, the Dodgers, there's rumors that the Dodgers may be trying to go for Ohtani. And that's why they're cleaning out house and trying to save some cash. And it's funny too, because the Angels this offseason spent the most in franchise history on payroll. On salaries in this off season. So
by
we'll
spreading the money
see.
around. Yeah, they didn't get
Yeah.
that big name contract, but they did. They spent a lot of
Exactly.
money on different players.
Exactly.
I see. That doesn't seem like a move from the Dodgers, but we'll see, man. Tyler
Yeah, we'll
Anderson's
see.
that's a good one. That's a good one. And for the next one here, man, this is a player who's like just absolutely under the radar. Someone's like, when we say these names, someone's like, who is that? No, out there. Who is that player for you that you think is gonna just come up and make a name?
So I got two guys, but I'm gonna flip a coin. I think I'm gonna go with Dylan Carlson from the Cardinals.
Okay.
So last year he batted a 236. He had 8 homers and 42 RBIs. But once they traded Bader, he got the starting gig at center field. And he's a super good defensive player. He's a switch hitter, and they've got him next to Tyler O'Neill and Lars Nootbaar, who we're watching for Japan, like tear it up right now. He's batting like 500 for Japan right now in the WBC.
Yeah, great
So
talent.
I think he's going to be like, I don't know if I would say like a complete shocker, but I think he's going to kind of break out a little bit this year and show the league that he's worth something. I think he might even be batting like close to 500 for spring training too. in his first like full spring training. So, but they got rid of Bader and that kind of locked him in at center field. And he's got two home runs already in spring training too. So no, I think that's the guy that's going to completely shock the league. I think we're going to see his name at the top of some lists by the end of the season this year.
So then Dylan Carlson and Bader.
Dylan Carlson.
Sorry.
Carlson. Bader's gone. Yeah. No, I was just saying they traded Bader. So that gave Carlson the starting gig there.
No, I was going to say, because Bader, they came out and announced today that he's out for 6 weeks.
He's out for the, yeah, he's out for,
no, until for, like he's out May for 6 weeks. Yeah. Until May. Yeah. So it's like, it's funny, that trade, for, uh-huh. you know, from our past podcast, we always talked about Bader.
Bader, but, yeah.
But, man, no, Carlson's a,
but he's a great defensive player. I mean, that's the biggest thing, and he can hit.
Oh,
but
no,
but he didn't really do much last year. So
the thing is, can he stay healthy? That's the thing. It's like he's right. a great talent. Yeah. Just like you said, the Cardinals have a lot of depth, you know, in there. So it's like, and Carlson's awesome. You know, I think this is gonna be his third year in the league, maybe going out fourth year.
Right, but he hasn't really played too much.
Yeah, exactly. He was hurt. I know he was hurt a little bit, I think the last year and a half or something like
that.
Yeah,
I think he had like a leg thing or an arm thing or something last year, the year before. So he's been kind of babying that. I was reading an article earlier and he's been kind of taking it easy to basically really prep up and wait for the moment. But now he's got the starting gig with the Bader trade. So I think he's going to have I think you'll see his name at the top of some lists this year.
Yeah, have a full offseason under his belt and, you know, ready to go. The MLB season almost less than 2 weeks away, man. Just stoked.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then, man, my guy is, he's all the way out in Kansas City. You know, Kansas City, I love the owners there because they actually try. They you know, they bring their, when their players, when their prospects are major league ready, they bring them up. They don't wait the 2 months to get them under a year. They could try to win. They will try to win. That's what I know. I know it's not a big market there, but one thing I love. And one pitcher I love for them is Brady Singer. He was a stud in the second half last year for them. He ended up finishing the year with a 10-5 record, 3.23 ERA. He had 150 strikeouts and a 1.14 whip. He was great in the month of September and August. The guy literally only gave up two. He had where it was six starts in a row where he only gave up two or less. And the month of September, the month of August, it was sort of the same thing. He didn't give up anything over three runs in the whole month of August. And I really think this guy is poised to have a just really strong 2023 season. There's a lot on that team that could be done. I mean, he has a great catcher too, Salvador Perez back there. Yep. For them, who's been outstanding in the World Baseball Classic.
Yes, he has.
This guy's a 7-time All-Star as a catcher. I think having him back there, and Brady Singer, he does, think about him, he's not flashy. He doesn't have this amazing strikeout stuff. He deals, man. He doesn't have a lot of, thing is, he has great command with the ball. That's what I really love about him. I love watching him because he goes out there, he throws five, six solid innings, goes seven innings sometimes. And that's a quality, man. I mean, going beyond six innings is very valuable.
It's getting rarer and rarer as time goes on. Yeah.
I was talking to my buddy who's an Angels fan. He was mentioning Pablo Sandoval. He's expecting him to do good. Pablo Sandoval is a really good pitcher. Thing about him is, though, the guy can't go more than five innings.
Only like four or five.
Yeah, exactly. If he goes more than four or five innings, they start to hit him. The team starts to figure him out. And maybe he's one of those pitchers. Maybe we're talking about this guy, Brady Singer. Maybe Pablo Sandoval is going to be that pitcher.
Yeah, you just have to have, I mean, you just have to have incredible depth in your bullpen for that kind of guy. And I don't know.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But Brady Singer is my guy. I think he's going to make his way into being the ace of that staff. And I think the Royals are going to expect a lot out of him this year. And I think he's going to be up to the task. Yeah. But yeah, man, Brady Singer is going to be that guy.
Well, my coin flip, my other guy that I had written down was Josh Jung for the Rangers.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he only batted like a 204 or something, or 264 last year.
Yeah.
Another. So
that team has a lot of bounce back candidates. Marcus Semien, he could be a bounce back candidate. Corey Seager could be a bounce back candidate because they both did okay. They both had a little bit of injuries last year, but they had, you know, compared to what their standards are, not very good seasons. I mean, Corey Seager, who's one of the best shortstops in the league. But I mean, that team is going to be absolutely loaded, the Rangers. I don't know if DeGrom's going to start. It doesn't look like he's going to start the season for them, or at least be their opening day. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, man, the Rangers, they have a lot of players that I like on the other team.
Yeah. Yeah, and I could see. I mean, I could. That's why I was saying it was a coin flip. He did bat a 204 last year. I had it wrong, but 204 in 26 games, and then in the minors he batted 266.
Yeah.
For Josh Jung. So, but he's been hurt a lot, and you know, this is his first full spring training, and the first time he's starting the season fresh, and so he was my other guy.
Yeah, the other guy I was thinking, the other guy I was kind of debating, which we talked about him on last week's podcast, was Christian Walker. For the Diamondbacks. Yeah, man, he had over 30 home runs last year for them. And I think he could have some, you know, an up in his production for them. Maybe he goes for 40 home runs, especially with that team going to be playing better. You know, that's always, whenever a player is around a winning situation, that makes them thrive a lot more. I mean, it's, who wants to play on a losing team? I mean, don't get me wrong, like that definitely builds grit and you get to build these rapport with these guys, but you know, that's losing gets old, and the Diamondbacks have been losing for a while. And so I think there's a lot of optimism around that team this year. Zach Gallen.
And they got Gurriel too.
Yeah, Gurriel. They just locked up Corbin Carroll to a big contract.
Yeah.
I love seeing these contracts, by the way, for these young prospects. Maybe that's something we'll talk about on next week's show. Just like all the deals that teams are getting by signing up these young players so early.
Locking in these guys for 5, 7, 8, 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, it may be, these players may be kind of getting underpaid of, if you look at what last year's market value was. But the thing is like, you know, they don't have to worry ever. Like if you're a Corbin Carroll and you're making 112, you don't have to ever worry again in your life. Your family doesn't have to worry. Like $100 million, like don't get me wrong. Yeah, if he could have waited 5 years, he also could have got hurt. Baseball is, you know, that sport. I wish, you know, I did wish they didn't have to take so long to get the free agency. I wish it was like 4 seasons or something like that. But I think teams are getting more wise, and I hope we see more and more of this as it goes on. Maybe this is the topic we'll talk about next week's show. But yeah, is there anything else left, Steve, that you want to say that we didn't already talk about?
I wanted to ask you, since you're a Mets fan, how do you feel? So Scherzer said the other day, or it might have been yesterday, that he thinks that the WBC should be played in season, like over the summer instead of off season, because then it would allow for pitchers and mainly I think he was mainly talking about pitchers, but he also mentioned the batters. You know, he's not in it because he wanted to make sure he didn't get hurt and that kind of stuff. But he thinks that if it was happening during season, then guys would be warmed up, guys would be built up a little bit more, and you would see a more exciting, I think he's really just talking about all the players that play in the MLB, really, but you would see a more exciting WBC. How do you feel about your boy Scherzer wanting to play the WBC in season?
I do think the WBC, if it was played kind of in season, like if it came in June and it was like, hey, we're playing this in June. But the thing is like that would never happen because first of all, the teams are going to like just let all their great players go because, you know, they're paying them a lot of money. And what if they get hurt? What if they get hurt there?
He was saying earlier in the season, not like, you know, it wouldn't be like August or September, but it would be more like you said, like May or June, just earlier in the season, maybe like an early summer kind of thing instead of a early spring kind of thing.
Yeah. I just don't see that happening. There's so much there. Not just that, like, especially for someone like him, who's kind of always hurt, like, would he even be able to play in that? I mean, I think it would be a better product for WBC. I think there'd be a lot more viewership. That's for sure.
I think that's his point. Yeah. I think that's his point. Yeah.
I think they'll definitely spike the ratings. I think all that is very fair to say, but, for as far as like, does
it's
it
like, for example, like Spencer Strider, he's not playing in it. McClanahan's not playing in it. Scherzer's not playing in it. There's like multiple guys that, and again, we just saw it with their loss to Mexico. I mean, yeah, we've got Wainwright, but like, we don't really have like a solid pitching staff in the WBC right now because all of our guys are training for the season. So
But you know, then I kind of think about it. It's like, well, in the NBA, it's not played during the regular season. It just it's
right.
This thing will never be played during the regular season. It, although, like, I think there is a case to be made for it. I would kind of love for that to happen. You know,
that'd be sweet. Yeah.
Maybe if they shorten the MLB season by 20, 30 games, and maybe they kind of were like, okay, we're gonna do this. You guys could, you know, do this in April, and you know, as baseball starting. But yeah, it's just it's something. And the World Baseball Classic is not long. It's only 2 weeks.
Right. So and it only happens like every 4 or 5, 6 years,
every 4 years.
Maybe
it can happen if the MLB was to shorten the season by 20 games and they kind of played it in into the role. Maybe they will, you know, end the season later, kind of like how it is now, and then, you know, in the off years it changes. But I do like it. I think it's kind of smart, at least for like, there'll definitely be a lot more excitement for fans. Like, oh, this is like great. Hey, this is coming in the middle of the season. I do like it. I would at least like to see it, you know, maybe happen. I think a lot of fans would do the same thing. But yeah, man, that's a good little nugget to end the podcast with.
Steve, can I do one more quick one?
Absolutely. Of course, man.
I don't know if you saw that article I sent you, but then this is just a quick little snippet, but the MLB was rated by the fans to be the most watched sport of 2022. So over the NFL, over the NBA, over MLS, the MLB was the most watched sport of 2022.
Was this based on a survey or was this ratings wise?
No, I think it was ratings wise. Yeah. I sent you that article. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
Sorry. I don't know if I saw that article.
It was just a quick little, like, it wasn't like a long article, but it was just a quick little thing. Here, I'll pull it up real quick.
Yeah. But I mean,
but that's exciting. But, I think that's exciting.
To touch on it, it doesn't surprise me about the NBA. It doesn't surprise me at all. I think,
dude, NBA wasn't even on the list. Yeah, here it is, right here. So it's the buzz score. So according to YouGov Sports Index, so I guess it was some kind of poll, but
okay, so it's according to a poll. According to a
NBA
poll,
NBA wasn't even in the top 10, dude. So it's MLB, then the NFL, then the FIFA World Cup, then the U.S. Open tennis. And then D1 college basketball, D1 college football, golf, NHL, NASCAR, Wimbledon, tennis. So the NBA wasn't in the top 10.
You know, I'm not going to say it's more popular than NFL. I think NFL dominates everything besides maybe the World Cup.
Yeah.
Like even like whenever soccer, it doesn't matter. The NFL dominates regardless of that. Like I said, this survey could be skewed in a few different ways. I do think that baseball has a lot of opportunity to grow as opposed to basketball, where I think there's a distaste for basketball right now, especially with players resting. I watch a lot of games. I pay attention to a lot of it a lot of the time. There's a lot of players that just sit, and if you're a fan that's spending money on tickets, big money, by the way, these games are not cheap to go to.
They're so expensive.
They're super expensive to go to, especially if you live in a big city like Philadelphia or like LA, like which we live in. The tickets are, you know, if you're going for two people, it's going to be $800 to $1,000, you know, almost. Like if you include parking, transportation.
Yeah.
If you include the tickets, food, do you want some memorabilia? You know, there's all this time to take into consideration. So, and so fans are like, okay, so I spend all this money, go to the game, the stars, like, so let's say here in LA, LeBron's not playing tonight. Well, why is he not playing? Is he hurt? No, he just decided to sit. So a lot of teams are just resting their players, sitting their players because, oh yeah, it's a load management, this, that, you know, I think fans are growing tired of that. You know, the fans spend a lot of money. The product, the players don't even care about the regular season anymore. You know, now that when the NBA made the play-in tournament, two more teams now make the playoffs. So it used to be 8 teams. Now it's 10 teams.
Now it's 10. Yeah.
Now you could technically make the playoff. You know, like those two last teams are still in the play-in tournament. I still count that as the playoffs. You know, because you're still given a chance to go in there. And I think I just think the NBA is a little watered down at this point. You know, there's a lot of NBA.
We see it so much out here with Embiid. Embiid will have like a hangnail, and he'll sit out the game. It's like, dude, like You're putting up 40 points a game and you're going to sit out for a hangnail? Like,
I think Embiid's actually one of the players who actually powers through kind of stuff. I think
he
that guy,
does, but
he's had some big injuries for that guy. That he's one of the players that I don't really dog on for the injuries as much as Embiid. But I mean, I'm talking about like there's just like other players where I'm just like, why is Kawhi Leonard sitting again? Why is
They're
this
little
guy
prima
sitting?
donnas,
Yeah,
yeah. They're yeah.
just don't want to play back-to-back games. It's like, as a fan, as these players are, making $40-$35 million a year. I'm sorry, but like, play those games. The fans
Right.
spend a lot of money. There's a reason why you guys are making that much money. Go play these games. It's like, no, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for them anymore. Like,
No.
maybe I did like 10 years ago when they were being underpaid, but now they're making so much money. It's like, they don't even care about the sport anymore.
And they're
They
all
only
fully
care.
guaranteed contracts
They're all
too, so
fully
it's just
guaranteed.
like,
They only
yeah.
care about when the playoffs come around, and it's all about chasing a championship at this point.
Yeah.
It's like, it seems like the passion for the love of the game is kind of gone. And I think baseball, and I think they could definitely improve. They're improving. I think the commissioner is finally trying to improve the sport by making it shorter. We talked about a lot of those rule changes in last week's podcast. If you guys didn't hear it, please go listen to that. But I think the league, I think there's a lot of untapped fans out there. That's why I say the MLB has a lot of room to grow. I think there's a lot of fans out there that are still just getting into baseball. And I think baseball will grow in the next 10 years more than the NBA will. That's maybe a bold prediction, but I think the MLB is on a good track with all the talent, with a lot of stuff they can still play with, because they make the game just faster this year. I really think that's going to bring in a lot of fans who kind of maybe went away from the game. They're
Yeah.
like, wow, I can watch a game in 2.5 hours. This is great. I don't spend three
Exactly.
and a half hours on a game. That makes a big difference on someone's life, especially when we're already kind of dealt with information overload in today's, game. So, yeah, man, I do see some truth in that survey. I won't say it's better. I won't say it's bigger than the NFL ratings. Because the NFL is just such a monster compared to any other sport besides maybe the World Cup. But yeah,
Yeah,
man.
so basically it's they asked a bunch of people two questions about 30 different sports. So the first question was, have you heard something over the past 2 weeks, which of the following leagues have you heard something positive about, and which have you heard something negative about? And then the score is calculated from the difference between the positive and the negative, and baseball hit number one on that. So basically it's generating the most positive like buzz in the news and on headlines and that kind of stuff, which is, I think that's a good thing.
Well, yeah,
That's a real
I'm
good
gonna
thing.
reach out to the reporter of this or to the writer of this article, and maybe we could try to have them on the podcast and
That would be cool, yeah.
dig in a little bit more deep about this. But that's all the time we got here today, Steve. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show. That's how we grow. And I'll bring Steve on either later on this week or next week, next Monday, to talk some more baseball. Thanks again, Steve.
Absolutely, man.
Hope you guys all enjoyed that edition of the show. I try to be as informative as we possibly can here on the show, talking baseball. Season's warming up. The NBA, I'll be diving into that a little bit more as the playoffs get closer, actually. There's a little bit under, I think, 17 games left in the season now. As the playoffs approach, I can't wait there. But hope you guys all enjoyed the show. Please do not forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, and share it with your fellow sports fans. I will see you guys next time.